Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Hey everyone, no calls this week, but we do have an email from Jonathan. How do you respond to horror fans who dismiss all modern horror as not scary and full of jump scares? I get frustrated by fans who think nothing good has come out after 1989. Hey. Well, I have feelings about that, and I think that all three of us have particular feelings about that. As well, I understand that if you're watching a movie that just seems like they're only leaning on jump scares for the scares. I get it. Totally understand. And there's plenty of horror movies out there that don't just have jump scares. But before we dive into all that, Megan, your thoughts. Not just recommendations, but just thoughts
on... Oh, no, I didn't even have recommendations because that's not really how I kind of viewed this question. It was more like, how are you going to convince people to broaden their horizons? I kind of suspect the culprit tends to be theatrical horror only. Mm-hmm. So trying to get them to view some of the horror that goes straight to VOD or streaming platforms. I mean, there's all sorts of resources out there to, you can direct them to us. I feel like we do a really good job every week of pretty eclectic recommendations. Horror websites, you know, obviously the more resources a movie has, like theatrical release, the bigger the marketing budget. So you have to kind of do a little digging. But I think that there's so many people out there that can tell you a plethora of like indie horror to check out that does not fit that kind of cookie cutter conventional mold.
And frankly, I think there's also plenty of commercial stuff out there that doesn't have jump scares or has very minimal jump scares. I think a lot of times people complain about jump scares because like, I like horror. Like, oh, it's got jump scares. Like, give me examples. And it's like, I don't know. I tried it.
Yeah, I will defend jump scares too, but you're right. It cannot be like, that's all there is.
Right.
Yeah. Some of it's a little bit gross.
Well, the question is, how would we convince someone? Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I won't. I won't try to convince someone because not in a mean way, but just because at this point, if you're looking for something like that, I kind of feel like they need to find it on their own. You know, of course, sometimes I'll be nice. And if there's some friends, because I'll have plenty of friends that'll come to me directly and they'll ask for like recommendations. But where it's like, you know, sometimes we've come across those people where it's just like, oh, everything after 19, whatever, you know, I just don't. And it's just like, oh, okay. You know, because at this point it's sometimes it's like talking to a wall. So yeah. I'd rather not. And eventually sometimes they do come around.
Yeah. So basically your stance is, I'm going to stick to people that are, you know, like, Jonathan, you're our tribe. If you want to be closed-minded, maybe you wait to come around.
Right. And I mean, I don't even mean to sound, hopefully I don't sound negative, but it's just kind of like, you know, sometimes you just have people who just, they made up their mind and they don't want to do it. I used to like go so hard trying to convince people like, hey, because I really do feel like there's a horror movie for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't that sound so sweet? Because it's the truth. But if you don't feel that way, no matter what I recommend to you, because you already feel a certain way before even seeing it.
Yeah.
There's no use, in my opinion.
That's fair.
Yeah, I agree. And I totally understand that school of thought. It's been quite a while since I've tried to convince anyone of anything that I like. Mm-hmm. It's like, I will talk passionately about the things that I like. And if someone's like, I don't like, I'll be like, okay.
Right.
You know, it comes up a lot No, that's a lie. It's not a lot because I don't talk about it a lot. But if people find out like that I do podcasts, yeah, because I never talk about it in day-to-day life. If the, oh, I heard you do a podcast. And usually it'll be like in reference to Creepy and like, oh, what's it about? Like, oh, is it true crime? I'm like, no. Like I read scary stories. They're fiction. And they're like, oh, I can't do horror.
Yeah.
Like, but
okay.
I love true crime. And I'm like, you can't do fiction, but you can do nonfiction?
Right.
Or like that's... See, in that case, for that same person, I say, okay, then watch Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. No jump scares, mm-hmm, pretty close to true crime. I think it's actually based on actual criminals. So it's like, there.
And that's funny that you say that, too. I'll come across people who say that, okay, I don't like horror, but they're saying how, but oh, but I really liked Scream, but I really like The Walking Dead, but I really, okay, you do like it. You just, you know
you
what
like
I mean?
Horror. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. But it's like they don't, either they don't feel like it's horror, or even if it is like straight horror, like Train to Busan, I'll hear someone saying how, oh, I don't like zombies and I don't like jump scares and I don't like blood, but you watch Train to Busan. So, yeah. And that's what I mean. Like it used to like drive me insane because I would really try to like, well, maybe just try this, you know, but you know, they kind of don't want to, they kind of just want to stick to stuff that's mainstream or, and I don't want to say they like to jump on a bandwagon. I don't know. I don't think that that's what it is, but if it is very much in pop culture, then they're all for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If it's in the zeitgeist, then it's acceptable because horror still is. You know, as mainstream as horror has become in recent years, it still is like the black sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think now that I'm kind of thinking through this and kind of like what Zena said, like, oh, I like this, but I don't like horror. I think, unfortunately, we've seen it a lot lately. And it was part of the reason why I got off social media is this concept of gatekeeper. Like, oh, I like Megadeth. Oh, okay. Name every member of the band and name their first three albums. Oh, you're not a real fan. Like this concept that it's all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're a horror fan? Then like, oh, how can you like Human Centipede? I'm like, I don't like Human Centipede. Like, I don't like all horror that I watch. It's just like, I don't like all of anything that I ever do. That's like saying, I like food. It's like, oh, you like everything? No, I don't. So I think it's kind of... I think maybe it's a part of horror too, like just a part of the horror culture that people think, oh, you're a horror fan, that you like all horror movies, as opposed to like, no, I like the horror movies that I like. Like, it's not for everybody. So, yeah, like, so you could, you know, give them a list of non-jump scare type movies, but I think odds are if a person came out with that arms crossed, oh, there's no good movie since 1989, I think Zena's right. You're not going to convince them, and that's fine.
But there's plenty that like, do like it, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can give them a list. Like, it's pretty easy to just Google horror movies without jump scares. You'll have a whole list of them, but odds are, my guess, is either they're not going to watch that, or, like, any of the lists you recommend for them, or they'll be like, yeah, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they already had that mindset. You know, it's like trying to convince my kids to eat new foods. It's like, oh, I don't like that. You've never had it before. What do you mean you don't like it? It's like, just try it.
Don't
just try a bite.
Don't say yuck until you try it.
Yeah. Don't yuck my yum. And you have to try three bites before you tell me you don't like it. You have to try three horror movies without jump scares made after 1989 before you say there aren't any of them. So that's our advice to you, Jonathan. I hope that helps. And welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hello.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hi.
Hi.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So what's been filling your heart this week, Zena?
Oh my gosh, so many magical things. It was just such a great week for me. You know, sometimes when you can't decide, what am I going to talk about? That's always fun. So I checked out the series SOZ, Soldiers or Zombies, from 2021 on Amazon. A drug kingpin escapes from a high-security Mexican prison with his son and finds refuge at a remote drug rehab facility located on the U.S. side of the border, where they encounter deadly mutant zombies. So I love zombies, and I needed some zombies in my life, so I needed to watch this. And I don't know if you guys feel the same way as well. I'm going to mention The Walking Dead again, but after The Walking Dead, it just seems like a lot of shows or movies that came out, like they were trying to be like The Walking Dead, but this one to me, not at all. It wasn't trying to be that. And that's something that I really liked about it, because it is very much, it's like very fast paced. It's an action like zombie series. And I love the fact that the zombies are smart and they're fast. Like, yeah, there's just so much to love with that, you know? I would say that it is a mixture, though. If I did have to compare it to something, I'm going to compare it to like a mix of 28 Days Later, Army of the Dead with a hint of El Chapo, because there's just so much. There's a lot that's happening.
That
in
is
this
a wild
one. Sounds like a lot.
Right? But it's so great. And if that didn't convince you enough, there's zombie piggies. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, they're cute. I mean, they're not, but you know, they're very good. But yeah, it's just the first season that's up right now. The episodes are like about 30 minutes and there are 8 episodes. I'm really hoping that there'll be a second season. So the director is, I might butcher his last name, but it's Rigoberto Castañeda. He directed Diablero on Netflix, and I love the show so much. It's basically about like this priest and this demon hunter, and they like join forces, and it's kind of like a superhero, you know. It's kind of like Cast a Deadly Spell, where people know that demons exist, you know what I mean? It's just it's just so awesome. But anyway, so when I saw his name on Amazon, I was like, whoa. And plus he did post about it on Instagram and stuff, so I was just happy that I finally checked it out. So yeah, if you are in the mood for zombies and you want to see something fast paced and fun, really easy to watch, I recommend this series.
And all filmmakers out there, if you can get Xena to liken your project to either Cast a Deadly Spell or Night of the Demons, you've won.
Yeah.
You've officially won horror.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm a simple girl. So then the second thing, I checked out The Privilege 2022 on Netflix. A wealthy teen and his friends attending a private school uncover a dark conspiracy while looking into a series of strange supernatural events. So the first 10 minutes of this movie is completely wild. They kind of show it on as a preview on Netflix. I recommend just watching the movie. Don't even watch the preview. But basically, something horrible happens to a kid. He witnesses something super tragic and really creepy, and it scarred him for years. So now as a young adult, he's like 18 years old, and he's still haunted by like these nightmares and demonic visions. And his family, they kind of dismiss it. They just make it seem like, oh, well, it's because that happened. You didn't really see that. Like, he's seeing some weird stuff, like people being able to like move things with their minds and some weird stuff going on in closets. So I think it's kind of like Society or Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Like the paranoia, can't trust anybody type thing.
Yes. And gotcha. Some weirdness going on and creatures in your mouth.
But no shunting.
But yeah.
Creatures just, in your mouth.
Yeah, like it's great. This one has like a lot of subgenres into one. Like there's sci-fi, there's action, there's drama, supernatural. It's really fun. The only thing I will say, because it does have like a lot that's going on, it does manage not to lose itself, which is surprising, because you know, sometimes you get lost in the sauce, so it's just like, what is happening? But no, I've found myself like really intrigued. But the only thing is, the CGI really isn't that great, and I think that they could have just did without it. But you know, I think that they wanted to try something new, like a little razzle dazzle. So why not? But yeah, so there's a lot of tense moments. There's demonic creatures and there's gore and there's a seance or two. So, you know, that always
rocks. Oh, that's my also
life.
Your jam.
Yeah. So it was like a really great week, you know, watching some things for me.
Xena horror.
I'm done.
I'm done. I watched Studio 666. This hits theaters this Friday. Legendary rock band Foo Fighters move into an Encino mansion steeped in grisly rock and roll history to record their much-anticipated 10th album. So this basically was a story that Dave Grohl had. They really were in this mansion recording their album, and he's like, you know, this would make a great horror movie, and then it snowballed from there. And the director is BJ McConnell, I think. It's the same director who did Hatchet 3, so there is some gore from Tony Gardner. It is basically kind of that familiar satanic hymn, you know, there's a song that he finds in the basement, and he slowly gets possessed, and there's a body count that piles up, and it is such a funny, charming, like, horror comedy that puts the comedy first with Foo Fighters. And really, I will say that as entertaining as it is, and it's really charming, this is a band movie through and through, meaning that it's really kind of...
My wife is gonna love it.
It puts them on display. Like, this is really a band hangout movie, and then the horror happens to kind of push it through.
My wife is gonna love it.
There you go.
We have Foo Fighters tickets for August.
I will also say that it does kind of drag on a little bit. I think there's... a couple too many endings and it loses some of that energy. But if you like the Foo Fighters and you like gory satanic horror movies, it's still very charming. And John Carpenter did the opening theme and he pops in.
Yay.
So yeah, I think it's pretty charming. It's not like, you know, if you're a hardcore horror fan looking for the next Evil Dead, yeah, probably not. But if you like the Foo Fighters, like John's wife, this is your jam. And then I got completely hooked on From. It just started on Epics on Sunday. I think it's like 10 episodes maybe is the first season, but it's weekly. And I love that they do weekly because it'll draw this out. And I did get to peek the first 4 episodes so far. But it's basically this crazy town in the middle of who knows where America that anybody who passes through this town gets stuck in this town. And it's like from all over. So they're stuck in this town. So they have to make do and kind of start a community here, but they have to be inside by dark because they're ravenous, bloodthirsty creatures who will kind of take appearances based on what's inside your head. Somebody you know, somebody who's seemingly whatever. It's kind of like Lost. There are some Lost producers. It's got that mystery box element that it's like, this stuff should not happen, but it's happening, and they don't give you answers. And for every one answer, there's like 10 more questions. It even has Harold Perrineau, who is fantastic in this show, as kind of the town mayor who has to make some tough choices. It's almost like a dark, grim, bloody fairy tale meets Lost in a way, and I'm really hooked. I hope people check this out because I would like more. So yeah.
Nice.
I was a little bit, every once in a while we'll be about to record an episode or we'll be a few days out from recording an episode and I'll think, are we going to watch the same thing? Like, when we haven't yet, I don't think we have. Like, I've gone back and ended up watching stuff that you guys have watched because of recommendations or things like that. But we've never had the same week where we're like, yep, we both watch it. We both want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And this one, I was more wondering if Zeno's going to watch it because Megan's talked about it before. And actually, Zeno might have talked about it. You know what? You guys have probably both talked about it before. We've done a bunch of these. 1995's Tales from the Crypt, Demon Night on Shudder. Because as soon as I saw it was available, of course I had to watch it. Breaker is a man who carries the last of 7 keys, special containers which held the blood of Christ and were scattered across the universe to prevent the forces of evil from taking over. If the collector gets the last key, the universe will fall into chaos. And he's been tracking Breaker all the way to a small inn in a nowhere town. And now, the final battle for the universe begins. I know it sounds a little spoilery, but it came out in 1995, and it's available on Shudder. If you haven't watched it yet, it didn't give away a ton, but it is an insanely charming movie, largely because of Billy Zane. Like, Billy Zane is so good in this because I feel like his comedy chops are largely underappreciated with how funny he actually is, because so often he ends up playing just a jerk who isn't necessarily funny. He's more just an antagonist in movies. And it's silly and cheesy. It opens like a Tales from the Crypt with a John Larroquette cameo on top of it. And it's just all the campiness that you would hope for from Tales from the Crypt that doesn't quite end up in Bordello of Blood, which is also available on Shudder. I just didn't enjoy Bordello of Blood quite as much. So yeah, Demon Knight. I don't think there's anything I can add to the conversation about Demon Knight that Megan has not already waxed poetic about.
It's one of the best. I got custom shoes for this movie. I adore it so much. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun. It's just, it's an easy watch. It's formulaic to a degree as far as the characterization is concerned, because obviously there's got to be that main antagonist.
But they never make it feel tropey or archetypical. Like, they feel so well-rounded, and that's because this, I would argue that this is one of the best, if not the best, ensemble casts in horror because of how much every single person brings to their role.
I absolutely love the character. I don't know if it's Geraldine or Geraldine.
Geraldine.
Yeah, she's just not the typical final girl. And I just feel like we were robbed of a sequel. So
yeah.
Please.
Ernest Dickerson, come on now. Do more horror.
Yeah, it's... Because I was thinking about that, because there's a moment early on, like, nobody really believes Breaker.
No.
Regardless of what they've seen. And they're all still kind of just out for themselves. And even, yeah, it's interesting that they're, I feel like there's one particular scene when they all basically are like, no, we're just going to try this to get away. And like, not one of them is like, are you sure? He might be right. He's been doing this. They're like, nope, we're out. Like, and I feel like, more traditionally in horror, there'd be at least that one person who believes him. Or who's like, yeah, there's some weird stuff going on. And he says, let's just chill until morning. Maybe let's just do that. Like, it is interesting how there are more character twists than you expect. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And like I said, I love Billy Zane. I love, like, I basically watched a movie last week just because I saw Billy Zane was in it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Shudder. I haven't seen it streaming lately, so make sure to check it out while you can. And speaking of things that have not been streaming ever, I think, 1988's Freddy's Nightmare on Screambox. Freddy, the dream serial killer, hosts this anthology of stories set in Springwood. That's really all IMDb had, and that pretty much sums it up. I was watching on Instagram. I saw that Bloody Disgusting had posted about how Freddy's Nightmare was coming on Screambox, and there was a ton of likes. People were really excited. Mm-hmm. There was this one comment that really stuck out that I thought was funny too, and it was like, it was like, horror fans for episode one. It was like a little emoji of like a person cheering. And then it was like, horror fans by episode six. And it was like a person like thinking like, what am I looking at? Like, like that excitement will taper off. It doesn't for me. Like it is its own special kind of, oh, this is late 80s. This is like mid to late 80s. Cinematography and writing. I think there was a lot of cocaine being done in the writer's room. There's a lot of following the plot line of them. Some of them is pretty difficult. Like if you're really watching and you're like, wait, what's happening here? Like you think you're watching one thing and then you're not. And you're watching another as if it's another episode, but it's not. They're connected. It's very silly. It's very campy and cheesy. I actually like the concept that basically after, I want to say it's the second or third episode with like Lori Petty. They kind of just get away from teenagers altogether and he's just messing with adults, but not even directly messing with adults. It's more like he's this entity that exists in this horrible town of Springwood where everybody is tormented. But I love it. There's something, and I can't even call it nostalgic because I didn't watch Freddy's Nightmare when I was 8. I remember watching Nightmare Cafe with Robert Englund, but that wasn't inherently scary. Like, they called it Nightmare Cafe, but it was kind of like, and it was a very much the same kind of CGI, green screeny type cheesiness. But there's just something, for lack of a better word, just charming about it. Like, it's silly and weird, and like, you would never see anything like this on TV again, unless there was some major funding behind it that's like, we need to redo Freddy's Nightmare shot for shot, Gus Van Sant style. So maybe Gus Van Sant will do it. I don't know. But I've enjoyed it. Have either of you had a chance to check it out?
I haven't. And I'm happy that it's available now on Screenbox because I can finally check it out, but I've never watched it before, ever.
How about you, Megan?
It's been a long time. I'm pretty sure I still have one of the tapes for it on VHS. Like, it's
no way.
It's My Party and You'll Die If I Want You To.
Yeah.
I have that one still.
Well, that's a funny thing, too, is some of the titles are also like, what? Like, I kind of get what you're talking about, but
yeah.
I also like it in the idea of, kind of like Tales from the Crypt, you see so many actors, like young actors and actresses in these, that it's just like, holy crap, you were in a Freddy's Nightmare? But there were 44 episodes, like there was a lot, and it was Robert Englund kind of at the prime, like the peak of
Freddy Mania. Yeah.
So like, it was a big deal, like you were getting those like up and coming actors that probably never talked about being on Freddy's Nightmare ever again after they were in it. But I love it. It makes me happy. Like, that's just kind of turned into my go-to if I have like an hour to kill or I need some sort of background, like a perfect Screenbox. Plus it's like a free 7-day trial right now if you get it through Amazon.
Oh, I think that if you go through the app, it might be 30 days.
Ooh.
Oh, even better. Yeah. I didn't go through Amazon. I just got the subscription because even like a year subscription was like $30.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'll do that. And Bloody Disgusting has been putting a ton of effort into like even revamping the app. The app's a little bit outdated, but they're putting a ton of effort into bringing it up to speed. So a little patience, it'll be worth it.
Yeah,
and Freddy's Nightmare, come on.
There you go. Nice.
So yeah. Okay, before we move on, what did we watch and how do we watch it?
So I checked out SOZ, Soldiers or Zombies on Amazon, and I watched The Privilege on Netflix.
I watched Studio 666, which will be in theaters on Friday, and From, which is on Epics every Sunday.
And I watched Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight on Shudder, and Freddy's Nightmares on Screenbox. All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
So Sam Raimi recently teamed with A Quiet Place writers Scott Beck and Brian Woods for 65, an original sci-fi thriller that was set for an April 2022 release. It got announced that they are shifting that back to April 14th, 2023, which is a bummer. But the good news is that that sci-fi thriller, we don't know what the plot is other than it's a sci-fi thriller starring Adam Driver. They've cushioned the blow for that bump with a announcement of Uma. I think it's Uma. It's UMMA. Yes. And it's going to be releasing next month on March 18th. So surprise, we shifted this out, but we're putting this in. Uma follows Sandra Oh as Amanda and her daughter. They're living a quiet life on an American farm. But when the remains of her estranged mother arrive from Korea, Amanda becomes haunted by the fear of turning into her own mother. The cast also includes Dermot Mulroney, Odeya Rush, Miwa Alana Lee, and Tom Yee. Iris K. Shim wrote the script and will be directing, or she did direct because it's out next month. Uma is also executive produced by Andre Ovdal, the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and Troll Hunter. So that is also a Sam Raimi produced. So it's like we're swapping this Sam Raimi produced movie out with this Sam Raimi produced movie. The one thing that I will say that is interesting that they chose March 18th as the release date, because that's also the release date for Ty West's X. So we got some original horror double dose coming on March 18th. So can't say that, you know, there's no new original horror because bam, there's two in one day. And then if you are interested, of course, Bloody Disgusting has like the pictures, but, Stranger Things, they dropped a bunch of posters last week, one at a time, and it looks like different groupings, and it's for the upcoming fourth season. You put them all together and it's like one big image, but all of them teased that season four is the beginning of the end. Netflix announced that Stranger Things 5 has officially been ordered to series, but it is going to be the final season that has been a pop culture phenomenon. So 7 years ago, we planned out the complete story arc for Stranger Things, creators Matt and Ross Duffer said. At the time, we predicted the story would last 4 or 5 seasons. It proved too large to tell in 4, but as you'll soon see for yourselves, we're now hurtling toward our finale. Season 4 will be the penultimate season. Season 5 will be the last. Of course, that's the main series, but there's potential always, as the case lately, for spinoffs. The Duffer Brothers did tease there are still many more exciting stories to tell within the world of Stranger Things. New mysteries, new adventures, new unexpected heroes. We don't know when season 5 is coming just yet, but we do know that Stranger Things season 4 will be coming to Netflix on May 27th. With volume 2, so they're splitting season 4 into 2. So the first half, May 27, and the second on July 1st. So there's really not much of a break between them. So this summer will be all Stranger Things. Maybe Baskin-Robbins will bring back the Demogorgon Sunday. Hint, wink, nudge, Baskin-Robbins. So, yeah, and then keeping with the TV news, the Alien franchise is headed to the small screen with TV series in the works over at FX, which we have brought up before in past episodes. FX's John Landgraf has teased some new details for it. For starters, Landgraf reiterates that Ellen Ripley will not be making an appearance in the series, which is set on Earth decades before the event of the original Alien movie. Alien takes place before Ripley. It's the first story that takes place in the Alien franchise on Earth, he explained. So it takes place on our planet right near the end of the century we're in. So 70-odd years from now, Ripley won't be a part of it or any other characters of Alien other than the Alien itself. Landgraf also said that Noah Hawley's take on the Alien franchise works as both the extension and reinvention of the films that have come before it. So yeah, it's very interesting. Expect a scary thrill ride set not too far in the future here on Earth. And last we heard, Ridley Scott is expected to be on board as producer, but we will probably not see this until 2023. And, if you missed last week's episode or you weren't paying attention at all to what John watched this week, all
like you just space out when I start talking.
Yeah, if you just spaced out because he's got the soothing voice.
It's he did the weird voice. It's time to just skip.
It's not skip. It's just so soothing. It's like soothing bedtime. You got to shake it up. You should have done a mobster voice for Freddy's Nightmares.
I should have.
You should have. But in case you missed it, which I'm doubting that, but all 44 episodes of the iconic horror series are available to stream on Netflix. I got Netflix on the brain. It's on Screambox. Go to Screambox.
Screambox.
Yeah. So to celebrate that, this Saturday, February 26th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, Bloody Disgusting will be co-hosting a Twitter watch party for the first episode, along with Fredheads, the documentary producer, Deandra Lazor. The pilot episode is No More Mr. Nice Guy, which acts as a prequel to Wes Craven's Nightmare on Elm Street and was directed by the late Tobe Hooper, who directed Poltergeist and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So to join the Twitter watch party, just pull the episode up on Screenbox. Like we said, there are free trials available. Just hit play right at the start time. Follow along and tag your tweets with hashtag Freddy's Nightmares. And yeah, join the fun.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, your turn. Do you love watching horror with other horror heads who aren't full of hate for post-1989 horror? Do you fall asleep when I start talking? Let's hear about it. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
Bloody Disgusting TV and Screambox. Okay, you heard Megan. So, live your life. So this week, we have some cool stuff coming out. So Tuesday the 22nd, Alone With You will be available on DVD. And yeah, I recently checked this movie out and it is very tense. It is a very tense indie movie. It's basically about this woman named Charlie who's waiting for her girlfriend to come back home. And yeah, there's some weird stuff that goes on in her apartment. There was plenty of creepy scenes. So, but yeah, it'll be available on DVD. It's also on VOD right now. And I believe that it's still playing in some select theaters. Then on Thursday, the 24th, Hellbender will be out on Shudder. So if you're like me and you love witchcraft and witchy wonderfulness, you may want to perk those ears up for this. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that, but you know. Now do it. Okay, yeah. So this is about a 16-year-old girl named Izzy who suffers from a rare illness. And she lives on an isolated mountaintop with her mom. And they live there pretty much her entire life. But then she soon starts to question her sickness. You know, she's wondering if this is real or not. Soon she meets a neighbor named Amber. She's another girl who lives in the mountain. And, you know, they start to hang out and stuff. And then they decide to go checking out the mountains. And for some reason, Izzy, she eats a worm. I don't know why. You have to watch it to find out. But then, yeah, there's some weird stuff that happens where she just, something awakens in her that's violent and hungry. I'm gonna watch it. We have to find out why. Then on Friday the 25th, we have two things coming out. Studio 666 will be available in theaters, and 666. Yeah. Megan told you guys to check it out. It seems like it's going to be a good time. Then we also have No Exit. It'll be available on Hulu. Basically, a young woman becomes stranded during a blizzard, and she realizes that there is a kidnapped girl in a van. So she's determined to identify the killer or the kidnapper. We don't know if it's a killer yet. I mean, it could be. Who knows? You have to watch it to find out. But yeah,
but you should watch it. Investigate. Do it.
Do it right now. Just right now.
You loved it? Yeah, I did. I can't. Ooh, you know, it's still embargoed, so I couldn't talk about it. But I really, really liked this one.
Okay, well, can you talk about it next week?
Yeah, I can.
Thank you. All right. And then on Friday, well, no, that's it for Friday. But on Monday, the 28th, Two Sentence Horror Stories, season 3 will be available on Netflix. And this is an anthology series that just explores like primal and social fears. The episodes are only 20 minutes long and it's based off of a two sentence story in horror. It's actually a really cool series to check it out. And then just in case if you guys are interested, this isn't new or anything, but just in case if you missed it or you want to rewatch it, Rob Zombie's Halloween is available on Netflix. So if you want to go back in time to 2007, you can check it out. Or if you haven't checked out Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix, this weekend, this movie was such a buzz. So if you didn't get a chance to check it out, yeah, check it out and let us know your thoughts on it.
Or sign up for Patreon and hear us talk about it.
True.
Because we're going to save it for there. We've all watched it and we're going to talk about it there. And that's the Bloody Disgusting Podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. And for even more content and rewards that I just talked about, check us out at patreon.com/bedisgustingpod. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Zena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.